listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Take your Bibles, if you would. And we're going to turn to the book of Romans this morning. I am so excited to share with you this message this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the character of the promiser. And I want you to know that the promiser that I'm referring to is none other than our Lord Jesus himself. How many of you have been promised something only to have that promise reversed? How many have been the butt end of broken promises? Or you have maybe experienced some kind of violation in your life with regards to promises that have been made your way? I want to refer you to the Lord our God today. He is the promiser that you can put your full weight into. And I want you to look at Romans chapter number 8. We're going to look at a few verses, starting at verse number 31. And there it says, "What then shall we say to these things?" The writer says, if God is for you, who can be against us? Come on, church. You need to get excited about this. If God is for you, and how many know, before tonight, today is over, I hope I can communicate the very fact that God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Bottom line, church, God loves you. Do you get it? And he is for you. Nothing will change his love for you. I want you to grasp that this morning. The enemy of our soul wants to mess with your vision of who God is to you. Nothing changes his love for us. But I want you to understand, he also longs for you and I to love him back. Not because he needs your love, but because he made you to be at your best when you love him. Did you get that? You are at your best when you love God. You are operating at your fullest potential when you love God. Your meter, if you had a meter, is the needle's way over there when you're loving on God. When you're engaging in worship, like I just said a few moments ago, and we're joining in with the throngs of heaven and participating in exalting our God with full measure, do you realize you're at your very, 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 very best engaging? The way the Lord values His relationship with you cannot be appreciated until you realize how incredibly invested our God is in keeping His promises to you. And I want to say it, God is the ultimate promiser this morning. My question is, how can we not be overwhelmed by the significance of Romans 8:32? So let's read it again. Can we do that? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, with Him, graciously give us all things? So, at a point in time, once His plan was in motion to save sinners like us, God did not hesitate to put His own Son on the line, to make that salvation a reality to you and to me, and I might add, at great cost. Having given so much, God will surely never refuse to follow through, even on smaller matters in our life. These smaller matters may seem huge to us, but in the economy of God, it's a no-brainer to Him. You see, what God did perfectly and completely for us in Christ continues to come to us and for us each and every day. His divine integrity is at stake, and God does not make promises that He will not keep. And what I want to do today with us in this service is to tie His promises or connect His promises to His character and His nature. And if you have a grasp of His character and you have a grasp of His nature, you will draw the conclusion that our God will always, always, always keep His promises. The character of the promiser is on the line in every promise that He has made. How many know in Micah it says that God is not a man that He should lie? God can't lie. And He will always fulfill His promises. If God couldn't or didn't keep His promises, both His goodness and His sovereignty would be in question. For instance, the promises in Psalms chapter 23, like green pastures, Like what? Still waters. Like what? The restoration of your soul. These, you gotta know, are all guaranteed. I had an issue with a purchase that I made online. I did not get the goods. So I went to my bank. So I got a bit of a problem here. They studied the issue and they basically said this: we got this. We got your back. They reimbursed my account and went after the problem. I just got a letter. I don't know if I'm going to check out how this came about, but they basically said this: you've got the issue that you had was a legitimate issue, and the funds that we refunded to your account will remain in your account. We got you covered. Let me know that's a good thing. And if a bank will do that, how many know your God will do even better? He's got you. He's the promiser of promiser, because it's for his name's sake. It's based on his character and his nature. That means God keeps his promises because the fame of his name is at stake. And this is true at the divine level. And it should be true at our level. At least it should be. The reason I say that is this: as a believer, can people count on your word? When you make a promise, do you keep your promise? Can people count on your word? When you commit to do something, to what lengths will you go to keep your promise? So do we see we have the divine element and we have the human element that we are wrestling with? Remember, to the degree that you're willing to invest or sacrifice in order to keep a promise, it's a direct reflection on how much you value the relationship with the one to whom you have made the promise. So, in the same way, our behavior has got to align with the character of God if we call ourselves Christian. Great place to say amen. You see, God is forever the promise maker and the promise keeper. You need to know, God honors the one who, according to Psalms 15:4, swears to their own hurt. Now, what does that verse mean to us? Take a look at it, Psalms 15:4. It simply means that we will keep our word even if it causes us some pain. How many have had the occasion when you've made a promise and it's going to be hard to fulfill this. It's going to be painful to fulfill this. So whenever your back is against the wall and every decision seems critical, your first action must always be to keep your word or do what you promise, even if the consequences are negative to you. This approach comes with a price tag at times, but it also teaches us to think twice about making promises. So if you give your word, you have got to follow through, even at unexpected personal cost to you. That's how I have lived my life. Life becomes the sum total of the commitments you have made and kept. Can I say that again? Life becomes the sum total of commitments that you have made and kept by treating your own promises seriously. It highlights the powerful and precious nature of God's promises. So let's look at God for a moment, if we can, in light of all of this, and realize He is the only promiser who is fully capable of carrying out everything that He is committed to. How many know that? That's our God. He knew full well what it would cost to keep His promise to us. And He made them anyway, full well knowing the cost. So here's what God's word says on that. Here's what it says. It says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? I see that as a promise. What is it about God that makes Him such a promiser that you can trust? So I want to give you this morning a few things about God the promiser. Here's the first thing I want to give to you about God the promiser. He has already thought through His promises to you. He has clearly thought this through from A to Z. In regard to your salvation and the work of Jesus in your life, I want you to stretch your thinking with me a little this morning. I wasn't there, and neither were you, because we just came on the scene most recently. But before this planet, can I say before this universe was even thought of by God, there was a discussion going on. Because in the foreknowledge of God, what do we mean by that? How many know God knows all things? That goes to His omnipotence, His omnipresence, and His, what is it? Omniscience. He knows all things. So, in the boardroom of heaven, if we can use that phrase, there was a discussion going on. Goes something like this. We're going to create a universe. And in that universe is going to be a solar system. And part of that solar system is going to be a planet called Earth. It's going to be a beautiful place. We're going to create man in our own image. But here's what we got to know. He's going to turn his back on us. He's going to give in to the temptation of the evil one, who was thrown out of this region known as heaven. But we're going to provide redemption for mankind. God full well knew in that time frame that man was going to reject him. But God said, I'm going to provide a plan. So, he has already thought through his promises. The second thing you need to know is that he has evaluated the consequences of those promises. And that goes to the subject that a decision was made in the boardroom that the Son, Jesus, his only begotten Son, would leave the region of heaven and come to this isolated planet called Earth, live among men, and what's more, he would be put to death. But that would not be the end, because there would come, as a great black preacher said, Sunday is a coming. There's Good Friday, but Sunday is a coming. And there would be a resurrection. But Jesus well knew, because he is God, that he would come and give us life. It was about when would that be. And about 2,000 years ago, that's when the when occurred. That was the most significant thing that has happened in the history of our planet. I've been having some discussions with my grandchildren about the discovery. It happened to be around the Columbus Day holiday, and what the significance of that was. How many know when Columbus discovered America? My dad would tell me in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. He discovered America, so to speak. America was being occupied. Then we, the American people, fought a war against the British and became an independent nation. As significant as those events are, in the economy of our lives, the most important decision was when Jesus left the confines of heaven and came to planet Earth 2,000 years ago. That's the most important thing that ever happened. So, let me say it. God the promiser thought through his promise. God the promiser evaluated the consequences of those promises. And finally, his promises, I'm here to tell you, are sure. I'm here to say that if he makes a promise of this magnitude, he'll keep every other promise he makes to you. So let me wrap this up. I want you to know this morning that we can fully trust that God will keep his promises and make every provision for you. Because the nature or character of God is at stake. He cannot lie. The cost to God was enormous. In the initial promise, the major promise, his price was his own son. Therefore, we can be confident that God is one who, one, makes promises, two, keeps promises, and three, I want you to know this, God is invested in you. And if my bank can take care of me, our God can take care of you. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet, church. I want you this morning to just reset your life, if you can. If you need to. Because I'm sure you want to. And make God the center of what you're all about. Joshua, way back there, put it this way. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God has got to be central in everything we do. And his promises, well, who's going to lose sleep over that question? Because God is more than capable. Lift your hands with me this morning. Here we stand, Lord, before you and with you. And we believe today, Lord God, that you are true to your word. When it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our daily provision, you are true to your word. Your scripture is full of those validations. You said in this word that you've got every hair on our head numbered. You said that you take care of the sparrows. You cover us like you take care of the lilies of the field. And so we are gathered in this place, coming to full assurance that you are the great provider, the great promiser. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed to fully trust you. But we're making a decision today that our full confidence is in you. And so we trust you with all of our being. I pray this in Jesus' name. While we're in this journey called life, the Bible tells us there is one known as the accuser of the brethren. How many are aware you're in a spiritual battle? Ann slipped me a note here in the service, and in light of this message that we can fully trust God, I want her to pray that the accuser of the brethren will not have a foothold in your life this week. Come on, Ann. Pray for us. Let's believe that the canopy of God's protection will be over you, your household, over this church. Your goings and your comings will be under his protection. How many know he is a protector? Come on, lift your hands and let's receive his provision.
Thank you, Lord. Take a hand of the person next to you. Just grab a hand across the aisles. Pray. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up his banner, his standard against him. And this morning, Lord, your standard, your Jehovah Nissi banner is over each and every person this morning. I bind every accusing voice that has whispered to anyone in this house. I bring down those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, thoughts that have been coming to people. Thoughts of discouragement, we bring those down in Jesus' name. Thoughts of hopelessness and being overwhelmed by situations. We decree and declare this morning as a house that Jehovah Nissi is our warrior king. He's the king and the Lord of the armies of heaven, and he's fighting for us this morning. He's fighting for every situation. Lord, I just release encouragement on the people this morning. Hope and the truth of the gospel, Lord, that you have never failed us. You're never going to fail us. And it doesn't matter what happens in this situation, in this day, and in this moment, because you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. Lord, you know everything. You are in everything. You hold everything together. Lord, I pray this morning there are some people right now that you're saying, I need to be held together. I'm falling apart. Lord, we just pray for those this morning that I know they're saying, I can't go on. Lord, we say in Jesus' name, you can go on. I pray you bind up those broken places. You bind up those brokenhearted people. You'd release energy and strength to deal with the issues of life this week. I pray for Laurel, Lord, who's at home, who's managing a sick friend and has come to the end of her natural energy. We release healing, Lord, right now to Laurel to rise up and have new, fresh health and strength and grace to manage a friend in great trouble. Lord, I pray for a release, Lord, of wisdom for those dealing with situations. Maybe like I know with the school system, some parents, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say or how to manage things. I pray for healing for them and wisdom for them to know what to do. For those who've had personal issues and the enemy said, You're not anointed anymore. You've had these situations and you're broken and you don't know what to do about it. I bind that thing that's come alongside even a demonic attack on someone in this house that has taken them to a place of total discouragement. Lord, I just release hope and a purpose and faith in the house to decree and declare with me this morning, my God is my warrior king. My God is able to do exceeding abundantly all I could ever ask or think. It's Him who fights for me. It's Him who I walk with every day. He is my provision and He is my peace this morning. As I go out in a broken world, I will go in the power and the anointing of my God and share the truth. There's a Jesus that loves you and cares for you.
Amen. Now there's a lot of hope in this place here today. I tell you why there's a lot of hope here, because the Spirit of the Lord is here. And I want you to know this morning before you leave that God has promised that He will go with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. You can go in victory and you can go in confidence that the battle has already been won for you. The major battle, hear me. The major battle of sins forgiven has already been provided. Every one of all of these other skirmishes that are going on around your life, that's a piece of cake for God. Amen? He's got it. He's got you covered. One more time, give Him a praise. Come on, put your hands together. Let's thank Him together in this place. So I want you to go from this place, and I want you to have a victorious week, because you know that the promiser, God Himself, will never break a promise. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.